Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. My name is Kyle Porter. I am this is an emergency mini pod. I've called up Rick Gaiman of DFSOnDemand.com. He's going to be joining us actually later on this week. We're gonna go so deep on the Bermuda Championship. It's going to be unbelievable. But for now, we got to talk Tiger. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is great, Kyle. You threw up the bat signal, said let's hop on and chat this out, because he did it, right? He finally got to 82, and I'm stoked to talk through it with you.
What's the thing? There's so many different directions to go with this, and I've got a couple of thoughts, but I want to just from you, like, what's the first thing you think of when you're like kind of thinking about this week, or talking to friends about it, or getting on Twitter or whatever? Like, where does your mind immediately go whenever you're thinking about Tiger winning 82 at the Zozo?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the week, I mean, I was the last guy to see this happening, right? I mean, he figuratively and literally limped to the finish line last year. He had the knee procedure. I was worried about his practice. He didn't look great at the skins match. Then he goes out and runs this thing wire to wire, and I'm just like, wow, yeah, like he looked awesome. He's got it. And then from a historical standpoint, you know, this is one of those situations where we've got every Tiger record in the book, right? I mean, every record is Tiger's, and a lot of the ones where you've got, you know, peak seasons and peak 3 years and peak 5 years are all Tiger's. But this is really, you know, the longevity record. And as far as records go, he's got a lot of unbreakable ones, and I think this is another unbreakable one.
Yeah, I think the longevity thing is kind of underrated. Not just with Tiger, but in all sports. I think staying healthy is underrated, and I think longevity is underrated. And I think that people are like, I don't know, even something like the NFL rushing record. And it's like, oh, well, he just played for a long time. And it's like, well, yeah,
that's the point.
that's sort of the deal, you know? And I get what people are saying there, but I thought Sean Martin's tweet about, I don't know if you saw this, but he said it's basically 3.6 wins a year for 23 years. And that's more than Rory had this year, and he won player of the year. So you're basically a player of the year season for 23 years. I don't know. You can't give me enough Tiger stats and data for me to like be like, oh, I'm good. Like every single stat I see, I'm like, this is unbelievable.
It's really wild, because Tiger is really only compared to himself and like major championships. But when you start like that's a perfect tweet to look back and say, okay, yeah, Rory just won the player of the year with 3 wins. This is 3.5 wins a year. And you kind of look at this and like, who could even come close to matching this? And the answer is probably nobody. there was another tweet where, you know, Phil Mickelson and Vijay Singh, who are the next two most accomplished players in like the last 25 years in terms of wins, you add those guys up and they're still short of Tiger. Or it's just like, you know, if Rory goes out and wins, I don't know, 3 or 3.5 a year for the next 15 years, like he probably still doesn't even get there. Like, it's just so insane, Kyle. And like, you really have to kind of step back and look at it that way, because Tiger is a gift and a curse that he's only really compared to himself.
Yeah, it's totally true. Going back to the original question, I think the thing for me that really popped this week was, and I sort of saw it early on, and I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm seeing things. This is weird. Like, he seemed so good through his swing. Like, if you go back and look at some of the stuff from like Northern Trust and what else did he play in at the Open, especially, like he was like stuck like on his follow through. Like he like couldn't get through the ball. And if you look at his swings this week, it's like he looks like 12 years younger in terms of his swing. Now, he said this afterwards. He's like, I can't do the stuff that I used to do. And that's true. But it's not because it's not because of injury now. It's because he's 43. Like that to me is important. And I was stunned by how smooth he looked on the course after not only not playing for a long time, but not playing well at all, basically since Memorial, and then before that, the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting to see him take a lot of really aggressive, clean swings. To your point, not getting nearly as stuck as we've seen him get. And I was a little bit worried, like, you know, you kind of stack it against him when you're on the wrong side of 40. You've got this event that washes out a day. You're starting, you're stopping. You might have to play 27 holes. I didn't know how he was gonna react to that. I didn't know if it was good that he could play, you know, 28 or 29 holes like he did yesterday, because once you kind of get it loose, maybe it's good to just keep going and not have to worry about getting it up the next morning. It's really tough, but he prevailed. Hideki looked like he might make a run a few holes down the stretch, but kudos to Tiger, wire to wire, awesome.
As a DFS guy, and we're going to talk more about kind of your role and your job when we tape a longer pod later this week, but as a DFS guy, how frustrated do you get when there's no like detailed strokes gained stuff from these tournaments?
That's brutal. Yeah, I mean, and especially because I'm a big data guy. You know, I obviously watch a lot, but there's so many shots we don't even see, and there's so much of the field that we don't even see on the coverage that I really do rely on that data. And when you've got these multiple events in a row, like I would have loved to have seen how many strokes Tiger gained putting this week, because it seems like he was burying everything. So it is a little bit frustrating, but I will wash it down. A Tiger victory is always fun.
I agree. I'm looking at his numbers right now, and the frustrating part is like the numbers that you do get are, you're like, ah, this feels misleading. Like I don't know what to trust here. He hit he was T3 in greens and regulation, so that, you know, that's obviously really good.
Sure.
But then like the putts per green in regulation, he was first, and you're like, I don't know, like that's kind of meaningful, but it doesn't really tell the story. And then he was T7 in driving accuracy. Did the course play like in terms of the way that Tiger played it? Did it lay out the way that you envisioned it going at the beginning of the week? I know it's a new course, so it's kind of difficult to tell, but is this kind of how you saw things going?
Yeah, I think so, from the standpoint that there was a lot of different ways to play it, which was, I don't know if you saw this or I just saw it a couple of minutes ago. Bubba goes down the wrong way on the sixth fairway, right? Like literally you can play this course any way you wanted, which is how we kind of expected it to start with. And I think that really does lend to Tiger's game at this point in his career. He mentioned it, you know, driving at 300 yards is nothing when it used to be everything. And to find a course where he's able to think around it, he still has the best course management game out there. He's still got the best mind out there. And when he can play the course to his strengths, which is kind of what we thought this championship was going to build up to, it looks like, you know, it worked. And that's kind of what we were expecting from Tiger.
Yeah, that's a great point. If it sounds like I'm like mentally working my way through this, it's because I am. I don't know what to do with Tiger now, because I can't erase the Open and like all the stuff that happened at the end of last season. And it just was so bad. Like he looked brittle, and he looked kind of just down. I mean, it was kind of depressing, like just to watch. And then you come out with this, and he looks like a top – what he is. He's number six now in the world golf rankings. He looks like a top six guy. I guess you go with the most recent thing. What does this do for 2020? I mean, how much for you does him – not just winning, but like the way he played and the way he looked, how much does it change what your expectations were for him in 2020?
Yeah, I was really impressed here. And I'm on the same boat with you, I think, where I'm cautiously optimistic on Tiger. Like I want to see him do great, but I'm always like, you know, one bad swing, he could tweak that back again, or like I'm always thinking about that, or oh, he won the Masters, then he kind of faded down the stretch. Like, you know, like I'm always very cautious. But man, this was so impressive. This was not a weak field. You had Rory out here, you had Xander out here, you had Hideki at home, JT, who's the hottest player on the planet. I mean, this if he would have just came out and finished like T18 shown me a few flashes, I would have been pretty thrilled about it. Now I'm just like in full on Michael Scott fire drill hysteria, like absolutely like, holy crap, is he actually just going to go out and run over, you know, run over the tour this year? So I'm very interested to see what happens next, because I want to see him, you know, reel off a bunch of these tournaments in a row. And we're going to probably going to get a chance at, you know, what's next for him, you know, Hero World Challenge, probably President's Cup. And who knows after that?
I legit thought he was going to pick him. I thought he was going to like announce it to Todd Lewis, in the interview, like, yeah, I'm going to have the earpiece in and play in Australia.
He like, for all intents and purposes, did. Like, I thought that little, you know, Tiger comment where he was like, oh, you know, the player caught the eye of the captain, is just like, yeah, you'll be hearing me say my own name in a couple of days.
I think he thinks he's like funny in a non-dad way, but it's actually like the most dad way, and yeah, that makes it even more unintentionally funny.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features, like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Yeah, this version of Tiger where he's like, yeah, over the hill and has kids and yeah, makes the same jokes that like my dad does is pretty great.
Yeah, I'm with you though. Like, in thinking about the Zozo, like, really, really good field. I don't know if, in terms of the world ranking points, if it was the best, probably the best one of the fall. Maybe CJ Cup was better. But I think it's different to do this. Although I did see people joking on Twitter that Tiger only wins non-full field events now, like limited field events, which is hilarious. But it's so much different, I think, to do this in a real event than to, like, I feel like we always get, like, remember a couple years ago, we get, like, worked up. He's, oh, he finished T4 at the Hero. And you're like, well, yep, there's, like, 17 guys. Like,
right.
I mean, yeah. So to do this in this field, I mean, to beat Rory by 6 and to beat, I don't know where JT finished at. He was pretty far down there. JT finished at 12 back of Tiger. So I don't know. I come away impressed with the present, and also I just think this adds a layer to 2020 that for me wasn't there a couple weeks ago.
What I'm actually really excited about is, yeah, what you were talking about. Oh, he finished T4. Like, he's back. He's showing us flashes. And everyone on tour, all these young guys who never had to compete against him in his prime, were rooting for him, right? And they're like, you know, JT's out there like, oh, I hope Tigers, he's going to come back. This is going to be great. They might have to eat those words if he comes out and just scorches earth. They might regret saying all those nice things and wishing him well and hoping he comes back, because they might be in trouble.
I know. Okay, before we get to, I did want to get just your thoughts on the rest of the, how the rest of the field finished. But when I say, what's the Tiger stat that you're just blows you away? And everybody was kind of throwing them out there on Twitter today, and there's a million of them. You could pick any of them. What's the one that you're like, that's sick. Like, I can't believe that's real.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many to choose from. You're right. It's the ones with, you know, playing better than the field in terms of strokes gained for however many rounds. There's their made cuts one. These are all unbreakable records. Maybe it is just because I watched it tonight, but this one really is crazy because it's a record that stood for 54 years. And, you know, Sam Snead, you know, to his credit, you know, I don't want to dilute his record. You know, it took him a couple hundred more events. Tiger's still winning at a ridiculous clip in his percentage of events played. It's just, this is so crazy because it's greatness for so long. And then you look at it and like, yeah, there was like a multiple year stretch where he didn't even add to this total. Like, it's just kind of mind boggling to think. And if he is playing like this, 82 is probably not the number this stays at, right? Like, I don't know what he could conceivably get to over the course of the next handful of years, but when he's all said and done, this number is going to be even greater than it is today. And today it's already awesome.
Yeah. I agree with the fact that he doesn't end at 82. And I don't know. It's weird. Like, we've said that after each one of his last three wins. So Tour Championship last year, Masters this year, and now this. And after each of those, it kind of got a little sideways for a little bit, especially this year after the Masters. So who knows? Like, maybe he like tweaks his knee getting on the air cat coming home. Hopefully not. That would be bad. I think for me, it's I guess I keep going back to the 142 made cuts in a row. That's a joke. Like, that's impossible. And the other number that you mentioned kind of goes along with it. It was I think it was 89 straight rounds of beating the field average, right, which is.
It's nuts. It's
insane. Like, it's impossible to do. Everybody has a bad day. Tiger never had bad days. And I don't know. I think the cuts made one is, you can't do that. Like, nobody does that. There is more parity now, I think, just in terms of like at the top level, there's so many guys. And even like in the middle, like you look at some of the fields that Tiger played in early on, and at the bottom, you're like, or the middle and the bottom, you're like, ah, these guys like might not have been that good. and so I think some of that is a little diluted in terms of not the wins thing, but just like maybe the cuts made and the strokes gained against the field. I just, that stuff feels impossible in this day in a way that maybe it wasn't back then.
Yeah, the fields are too deep, and that kind of goes with the cuts made, the above average, even some of the wind stuff. Like Brooks mentioned, you know, he already rules out what half the field when he tees it up anyway. you know, 2002 Tiger might have been able to rule out, you know, 120 guys out of the field or whatever. To your point, it's just not the same. There's so many young guys coming up. They're competing. These young guys are winning immediately as they step on the tour. It's just a different era. So it's really inconceivable that anyone starting now or anyone, you know, like a Rory who's already in the midst of their Hall of Fame career could ever get to any of these numbers.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so who else in this field disappointed you or surprised you based on kind of where you thought they were coming in? It was a really good leaderboard. I mean, obviously Tiger kind of overwhelmed everything. You know, other than that, it was still like within the top 20, some great names. I had Xander winning. He finished T10, shot a 72 in the final round after three really good rounds to start. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, but he'll go to China trying to defend next week at the HSBC champion. So was there anybody that stood out to you that maybe surprised you or disappointed you out of this field?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're right. Tiger does kind of soak up a lot of the oxygen in the room, and it's easy to forget about everybody else. But I mean, Rory, outside of the 72 he shot in the opening round, was awesome. You know, he backs it up with a 65, 63, 67, finishes in a tie for third with one of my favorite players on the planet, Sung Jae-im, who, like, no matter wherever there is a golf tournament in the world, Sungjae will be playing it this week, so don't worry about that. And then the other guy that, you know, he didn't necessarily disappoint me, but who I'm just so critically excited to find out what is going on this year is Jordan Spieth. Another really disappointing finish, T66, never really got anything going. He was 5 over par down there with Kevin Kisner and Scott Piercy. And this is the year that I think we really have to figure something out with Jordan Spieth. He has to kind of either return to form or that official world golf ranking is going to plummet. And it's kind of already going in that direction. And I'm interested to see how he reacts to that.
Yeah, I've written a lot about Spieth over the last few weeks. I don't I mean, look, he's like still in his mid-20s. I don't want to like make any declarative, you know, end of career statements, but it just, it does feel like a make or break season for him in terms of kind of our perception of him or the way that we view him. If he has another year like he had last year, all of a sudden, like, we don't even like, we don't even really think about him in terms of like the top tier guys. And it's already started a little, but I think he has the ability. I mean, he gets the benefit of the doubt because he's won three majors, because he's won whatever, 11 times on tour. But it's going in the wrong direction. And the tee to green stuff, it feels still lost, and it's been lost, and he's losing to guys like Sung Soo Han, you know, at the Zozo Championship. It's just, it's a tough deal for him right now. He lost to Tiger, or Tiger beat him by 24 this week.
Yeah. So that's really tough. He's one of these guys that, thank goodness he's got that magic putter to keep him even in some of these events. But yeah, really to your point, Kyle, the only place that is kind of continuing to give him that credit is the betting markets, who continue to kind of keep him as a top 10 player. But you're right. I don't know how much longer something like that can exist.
Yeah. He was like 20-1 this week, which just
was crazy.
It was crazy. I think the other guy for me that surprised me in a good way was Matthew Wolf. He really struggled at the CJ Cup last week. I think he finished last.
I think he did too.
He's had a couple other events in the fall where or throughout the summer and fall where, I mean, obviously he won, but he's had a couple of events where you're like, wait, what's he doing? He played really well. First three rounds, 69, 65, 67, faded a little on, in round four, but it just struck me, this time last year, he's playing guys against, or he's playing against guys from like Baylor at the Big 12 match play. And now he's like putting out two groups ahead of Tiger as Tiger wins his 82nd PGA Tour event. So he played really well. And he is somebody that, to have somebody like him in the mix in these events is only going to be a good thing.
Yeah, those kids are so cool. I was actually at the Shriners a couple weeks ago, and I followed that. They had, I guess it was Wolf, Neiman, Morikawa group around, and those kids are all awesome. And yeah, they're so young, and their range of outcomes is going to be very volatile. You know, we've seen him win, we've seen him finish dead last. Like that's what happens when you are a young kid on the PGA Tour trying to figure everything out. But it's going to be fun to watch one way or another.
For sure. Okay, Rick, thanks for your time, man. We will reconvene later on, like I said, into next week as we talk HSBC Champions, get steep on the Bermuda. And yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, brother, much appreciated. Always always a good time to talk about Tiger. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Rick Gaiman, DFSOnDemand.com. You guys can check out his stuff there. Ton of cool things. Ton of DFS information, loves data like I do, and I'm sure we'll get deeper into that in the weeks ahead. So thanks again, Rick.
Thanks, Kyle.
See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.